Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a June 20, 2009 segment from the Kentucky Water Fuel Museum. With us today is a return guest, namely Peter Samarek, who has come up with what is known as zero amp technology. That is a tweaking of AC electricity to the point where motors that normally require a large amount of energy to run can run on very little energy simply by tweaking the AC signal. The motors run cool, and they're able to run on very thin wires that normally would not carry enough energy to power such motors. So this system has been modified to provide electricity. And we're interested in hearing an update from Pete on what's been happening over the last several months since our first interview. So we're looking for Mr. Samarek to call in, and it looks like we have him with us now. Pete, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I think it's of interest to everyone who is following clean energy technology that you've come up with something that can be of great help to mankind, and so we'd like to know what's been going on with regard to the implementation of this technology, what's available, if there's any chance of people ordering a unit, or...
Okay, yeah, there is. For the last, about 3 to maybe 4 or 5 months, I've been building a facility here in Waco, Texas, to start producing these things. We should go into production this coming week. Between next Friday and maybe the following Monday, we should be turning the closed loop, the small systems with the batteries out for the public to buy. And what's neat about it is it proves without a doubt, you know, it is a completely closed loop system. I've increased the loads on it to where it's going to be about probably close to about 1,000 watts output and completely closed loop running. And the individual units are $100,000, which is a lot cheaper than, you know, buying a genset that does the same thing for $3 million. This will give people the opportunity to buy a closed loop system for a reasonable amount of money that pretty much anybody can afford, and then go into business. The technology for the genset is inside the small tabletop units, and depending on, you know, their financial situation, that'll determine how fast they can go into business doing gensets.
So in other words, you're saying that anyone who buys one of these gensets is welcome to replicate the technology?
Oh yeah, yeah, no problem. They don't have to. The only thing paperwork anybody will have to sign with me is that they won't file patents. That's it. And well, unless they come up with something better than what I'm doing, you know, and then that's legit. You know,
okay.
Nobody has the right to stop anybody from doing that.
So you don't have the technology patented yourself?
I've got I've got over 30 some odd patent pendings. With this kind of technology, you really don't want patents for the simple reason that once you get a patent, all your proprietary information, it's public information, and it's worldwide. So you're actually giving your technology away.
Yeah, exactly. It's a screwed-up system, isn't it?
Yeah, it's patents are only good for people who have $10 million to give to a patent lawyer, like right now, and then he'll go, anybody that's trying to steal your patents or has been, you know, stealing your patents and producing your product, if you don't have $10 million, there's not a patent lawyer I've ever heard of that will go to court for you.
Yeah,
and they
you
want
have to
that
have
much,
very deep pockets, huh?
Yeah, they want that much money up front because the only thing they'll guarantee is that the case is going to take a minimum of 10 years. In most cases, patent cases are 10 to 15 years on, you know, really important stuff.
Yeah. Now, without naming any names, I understand that you did already have a negative experience with this technology where a very wealthy person asked you to help them achieve energy independence, I think, on an island, and then reneged on their obligation to pay you for the technology?
Oh, yeah. They decided they were going to take me to court and sue me, and they were going to have, they thought they were going to get a judge to order me to just turn over the technology because of who this guy was. And they picked the wrong court, the wrong person, the whole nine yards, and they were literally thrown out of court on the first attempt. The second attempt, they tried suing me in a different court, and it turned out that the judge for the second lawsuit was on vacation or sick or something. I don't remember what it was, but they got the same judge from the first one. It was a woman. Yeah, it was a woman, and she ended up being the lawyer in the second one. And when she saw who it was, she just asked me if I had my money yet, and I said no. And she said, "This case is over." And it was more technical than that, but they got thrown out of court again, and they dropped it after that. They just they had a gen set and a big one, but I killed it. In other words, they didn't pay me my money, so I took all the programming out of the computers, made them all, I zeroed out everything. And I'm going, when I get my money, you can have the programming back. And without that, the technology absolutely will not work. And the odds of anybody figuring that out is just astronomical.
Yeah, so this was a case similar to when Thomas Edison offered Nikola Tesla a certain sum of money if he'd help him solve a problem with regard to an electric motor.
Mm-hmm.
And then he reneged on paying that and basically said it was a joke. He was never serious about the offer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's common. I mean, I've been promised everything from, you know, the cow and the moon to, new cars, new trucks. I'm like, you know, it's just absurd. And it seems like, you know, the wealthier the people are that I deal with, the bigger bunch of just crap it turns out to be.
Yeah,
so
isn't that funny?
I just decided, you know, from now on, we're just going to build these small units so that, you know, anybody that wants to, you know, get into the business, they can get in cheap. They got, I mean, without a doubt, 100% closed loop. This thing is running itself and it's producing a lot of power. And that, you know, that's their demonstration model to, without a doubt, I mean, it makes every academia engineering individual look like a sham. I mean,
yeah. You
know, how come an electrician figured this stuff out and all the genius Einstein PhDs and electrical engineering, computer science, they couldn't do it. But an electrician with 31 years experience and 20-some-odd years a contractor did it in a heartbeat.
Well,
and so it's
a previous guest on this program used the expression academic blinders.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like they don't want to know. They don't. They absolutely do not want to know that real efficiency ratings can happen. And I mean, a lot of engineers will say, "Oh yeah, we've got motors up to where they're running at 86% efficient." It's absolutely absurd. The best I've ever heard of was a motor that was built in Tokyo, I think back in 03 or 04. I went to Tokyo, and they had taken, I think it was a 20-25 horsepower, you know, three-phase AC motor. They took the copper windings off the armature, off the rotor, and replaced it with solid gold windings. And the thing reached 41% efficiency. But the drawback was that motor cost something like, oh gosh, I think, you know, or the windings in the motor cost, I was somewhere around between a half million and $1 million.
Yeah,
so,
talk about someone stealing your copper for scrap.
Yeah. Really. Yeah, it's not real financially feasible to go around making motors out of solid gold. You know, it'll never, the motor will never burn out and it'll never rust or anything like that, but, you know, it's made out of solid gold, it shouldn't.
Yeah.
But who's gonna be able to buy one? Well, not your guy, your average, you know, Joe Blow that's, you know, used to getting an electric bill of $80, $90 to $150 a month on his house. Well, in another year and a half, that's gonna be $300 to $600 a month. And you know, it's our politicians aren't doing anything to help us. They're not going to. You know, if we don't do this on our own, we're just, you know, we're doomed to have to keep paying outrageous prices for nothing.
Yeah.
It doesn't
cost. Well, utility companies have us over a barrel, and that's pretty obvious by what's happened to gas prices over the last couple of weeks. Gasoline has
exactly.
shot up almost
yeah, for
a
what
dollar
reason?
A gallon over the last few
yeah.
months.
For what reason? No reason other than greed. Nothing but
yeah.
greed. Electric rates
greed.
Are going. Yeah, electric rates are going up for the sole purpose of greed. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are. go
that's
ahead.
Almost a good thing because technology like yours is not really pursued by the public unless there's some pain in the price structure of energy or whatever. People have to be motivated by something or they won't be interested in alternative energy devices.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's almost a good thing that we're being gouged by these people because it's causing us to wake up.
Yeah, it's a kick in the butt is what it is. And they either going to have to wake up or they're going to have to sit there and go, well, you know, I'm just going to keep paying this and they're, I don't know anybody who's getting raises if you know, your average, you know, country Joe or plumber Joe, because he's doing a great job.
No, that's
know,
true.
Not,
right now,
you're,
it's basically in the standby mode with regard to that. Nobody's getting raises. People are just glad to keep their job right now.
Yeah, they're being told, you know, count your blessings. Some Chinese guy hadn't got your job right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me ask you this. Talking about the common man and his utility bills, so at what point do you see that this technology is going to be accessible to the common guy to benefit his family?
Well, I'm selling a limited number of these tabletop units, enough of them to where they should. This technology should be spread across the country in when one more year. I mean, people, there should be literally thousands, if not tens of thousands, of gen sets all over America. Now,
okay,
you know,
the price of this particular gen set, this introductory model, for the purpose of spreading the technology around, it's obviously it's not within the range or the grasp of the average person.
Well, a lot of people who own their own businesses, you know, like you know, the guy who has a local McDonald's hamburger franchise, well, he's got anywhere from 3 to maybe, you know, 15, 20 stores. I know that because the man who owns the McDonald's chain here in Waco, he owns, I think, like 28 of them across McLennan County. Now, he's getting electric bills on an 800-amp service on that McDonald's, each one of his McDonald's, to the tune of, you know, probably, I haven't done a load calc on one of them in a long time, but I'd say probably around $4,000 to $7,000 a month. And for him to have one of my gen sets knock that bill down to the minimum rate, you know, just to have the meter on the building to $150 a month, $180 a month, that's a huge incentive to get this man to buy one of these units. And there are literally millions of people like that in this country.
So you're saying that one of these $100,000 units putting out a 1,000 watts would actually bring the man's grid electric bill down from $4,000 to $7,000?
No, he'll be able, in other words, to cut out all the middle people that it takes to build, a 1,000-amp generator system for his restaurant, he would have to pay a lot of money to get that thing done. If he's doing it himself, the cost factor is 70%. Of the cost factor is gone because all the people that, you know, get involved in manufacturing these huge gen sets, he's going to have the technology with a small one for $100,000 to build all of them he wants. Matter of fact, he can go into business and open his own factory and start selling gen sets to corporate McDonald's or corporate Burger King, corporate Wendy's, whatever.
Yeah, so in other words, you wouldn't be using the 1,000-watt unit for anything more than a model to build the bigger ones from.
Right, right. In other words, he doesn't have to pay me. In other words, for me to sell somebody a 12 kW system or a 65 kW system, I'm going to have to charge him $3 million because of what the thing does, if you see what I'm saying.
Right.
Now, it's not going to cost. Now, once, say, I sold one to somebody for $3 million, it's not going to cost him that much to build them. You know, because he's going to go buy them by himself. He's going to buy generators for $3,000 to $4,000 a piece because he's going to be buying them, you know, by the dozens or the multi dozens or whatever. If like you know, the McDonald's guy here, he would buy 28 gen sets. He would buy 28 transmissions. He would buy 28 variable speed AC drives. He would buy 28 of everything. And then the cost of each component goes down like 60 to 70% because he's buying that many all at once. And it really does do that. I know because I've done this. I've already done this. The price comes radically down. When I buy a generator, 65 kW generator, one, it costs me like, depending on the quality. I mean, you can get cheap ones or you can get really good ones. I mean, anywhere from $60,000 to $70,000 a piece to $10,000 or $12,000 a piece. But when you buy, if I bought, say, 20 of the $60,000 ones, I'd be getting them for about $20,000, $30,000 each instead of $60,000 each.
And that's the most the most expensive component in the system.
That's the highest priced part in the whole system. And, you can't get generators cheaper. I always try to buy, the best quality components that I can get my hands on because I just don't like junk. I like building stuff where I learned in the early days as an electrician's helper. If you use junk, you get to build a system twice, and the second time you don't get to make any money off it.
Yeah, exactly.
So
basically, then what we're saying is that a person who has a restaurant that uses, say, anywhere from $50,000 to say $80,000 worth of electricity a year, they could justify putting these systems in because it would pay for itself within a few years.
Oh yeah. Well, TGI Friday is another great example. I was a contractor to them for 16 years. The last Fridays I worked on was in San Francisco. They were getting $40,000 a month electric bills.
You gotta be kidding.
No, they went overnight. Remember when the energy crunch, the Enron stuff happened?
Yes.
Well, that affected California something horrible. There was a Fridays at Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco, and their electric bills went overnight from $10,500 a month to $40,000 a month overnight.
Unbelievable.
And it ran that Fridays in the ground. They actually ended up closing that Fridays.
Yeah, but even at $10,000 a month.
Even at $10,000 a month, these units are so financially feasible, it's incredible. I built a 50 kW system for the U.S. Army here in Waco for Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas a few years ago. And they drug this thing out to a year and a half just to create huge expenses on it, and the whole thing, labor, everything, was $93,000, which means the unit itself probably didn't cost but maybe $20,000-$25,000. I don't know. They wouldn't tell me. They wouldn't let me know what the cost was. But a year and a half of my labor, and most first 5 months, all I did was sit on my butt in a little cubicle because they wouldn't get me any parts.
Huh.
I mean, there's Uncle Sam for you.
Yeah, of course.
And I finally just started buying the parts on my own. I got so angry, and that's when they broke loose and said, "Okay, all right, give him his parts." And then within the next week, I got parts flowing in, like candy. But it's Uncle Sam does not want this stuff, and people that think they do are just fooling themselves. The government, is not out looking for any kind of alternative energy sources. That is a blatant lie. It's never happened.
Well,
it's never
that was revealed recently on the 60 Minutes program on cold fusion, because when those two scientists in Utah first announced that cold fusion was a reality back in the 80s,
first thing they did was discredit them.
Yeah, and then I think the Department of Energy told any university that wanted to pursue cold fusion that they would cut their funding if they...
Exactly, yeah.
So that showed that they weren't really interested in energy.
Exactly. No, they're not. They're not. The gen set that I built for the Army was going to power 200 to 500 slave generators in Iraq. And the engineer, the chief engineer at Fort Hood, was so angry about this. When they sent him to Iraq right after we signed the deal here in Waco. And when he came back from Iraq, I was in Fort Hood about a week he got back. And the minute I saw him, he sent him and said, "Hey, how's the project going?" I answered him with, "What project?" And he's like, "Your generators." He had no idea that a senator and a congressman had here in Waco, Texas, had pulled the plug on the whole project. I was never allowed to give a demonstration to any of the generals at Fort Hood or the current, not anybody at Fort Hood, because the system worked so well.
Yeah.
Now,
well, you know, it has to do with coal mining. You know, power is generated in this country by coal primarily. And
yeah.
So the coal industry is a huge lobby. Natural gas is used here in California and other places to generate electricity, so there's a huge lobby there. And then
well, I know. Well, you know, they've had their, you know, some 80, 90 years. It's time for somebody. It's time for some new technology that has no emissions. My stuff has no emissions whatsoever. There's no pollution, period. And you're talking about being able to power whatever you want to power. I mean, and your electric bill goes down to, like on a house, your electric bill would be like $9 or $10 a month. And if you want a 400-amp service on your house, you can do it. You don't need that, but, you know, you can build the set as big as you want.
Now, are you able to sell energy back to the grid using this system?
Well, they say you can. They say that anytime you have excess, you know, like with the solar companies, you know, that you're, and I don't understand this, how anybody can have a 6 kW, in other words, a 6,000 watt solar system powering a house is absolutely absurd. That wouldn't power. I mean, you're talking a normal 110 volt, 20 amp circuit is, if I remember, it's like 2,500 watts. So, I mean, that isn't diddly in a house. And to sit there and say, well, yeah, I got the 6,000-watt system that cost me $62,000, and I'm selling power back to the power company. I'd like to see one of the checks, because I've never seen anybody or seen anyone that can show me a credit back on their bill or a check from a solar system selling power back to the power company. I've never seen it. I think that's just another government lie. But, you know, if somebody's doing it, I'd like to see a copy of it. But I know every person I know that has a solar system is completely disgusted with it.
Yeah,
and
because it's just
my system can be coupled up with existing solar, and you can actually save some money on components on houses that already have solar systems. That will save a little bit of money on the components you need to put my system to use
and
on a house.
By that, you're referring to those things that tie into the existing meter.
Right. Right. Yeah, it'll actually. Yeah, that way their solar, all the money they spend on their solar system doesn't just, you know, go down the tubes.
Right.
You know, it can be incorporated into what I do, and it makes my system cheaper for them to buy and apply.
Now, a solar system typically involves the use of batteries. Does your system also use deep cycle batteries?
No. The tabletop unit does, but the gen sets do not. There are no batteries anywhere. I never wanted to use any batteries, and this last company I built this system for forced me to use batteries for their demonstration units. They wanted to be able to fit on their jet airplane, and the 12 kW system was just too heavy. And I told him up front, I will not build anything with batteries. And I was just forced to do it. And so I said, okay. So I built a battery system. And it's 100% closed loop. It's what, you know, people are going to be able to get. Now the guys that I did this for are real upset that I was able to do it. I figured that one out.
Huh. Why would they be upset that it worked?
You got me, because the prototype I built for them has been sitting here in my in a trailer I have for since I think March 9th, and they have not come to see it run, pick it up, or anything.
Hmm,
so,
isn't that interesting?
Figure that out.
And this happened to be an organization that supposedly is in favor of clean energy?
Oh, you betcha.
Okay,
yeah,
so we don't have to name it.
I don't want to say any names.
But I think most people who've been following your story are aware of the fact that a particular organization paid you to provide proof that this works on a full scale or a.
Yeah, I did it. Yeah,
and you did, and then they didn't show their sincere interest in promoting it by not even showing up.
Showed no no interest whatsoever in promoting it. Matter
of fact,
they
did because they didn't come up with the money, or
no, they came up with the money. They did everything they could think of to not help me produce either the 12kW system or the battery system.
Does that mean that they're working for the other side, or what?
It seems to me that that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't seem beyond the realm of possibility that some of the people supposedly involved in promoting clean energy technology are actually working for the other side.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be the first time in history that kind of
stuff like that's been going on for decades.
Yeah, exactly. In other words, you couldn't expect that a $1 trillion industry wouldn't attempt to infiltrate and overthrow their competition.
Exactly. I mean, why would a great example would be like, I've been a electrical contractor for a long time. Say you've hired me to wire your restaurant, and then I show up to start wiring your restaurant, and I get it wired, and then comes time to turn it on, and you tell me, no, we don't want you to turn it on. And I go, why? It's finished. You go, no, don't turn it on. We don't want it turned on. And I'm going, but you paid me a lot of money. Why don't you want me to turn? No, go away. We don't want you to turn it on. You know, that's absurd, but that's what just happened to me.
Yeah. Well, don't be discouraged by it because...
I'm not at all. That's why.
And in fact, there are people who believe, and I actually am one of them, that nothing too good is going to happen to any of this stuff in this world that we're living in right now. Mm-hmm. Because the pollution that comes from these power plants that causes there to be mercury and all the fish and everything...
Horrendous, yeah. It's absolutely horrendous.
It's representative of a much deeper problem that exists in human society that neither you nor I nor anyone else is going to be able to correct.
Right.
And so trying to ramrod through something better is like going against the grain. It's like swimming upstream, you know?
Yeah, but it's something that's got to be done. You know, somebody's got to start somewhere. And, if it happens in my lifetime, great. If it doesn't and I'm, just the catalyst that got it started, well, that's okay with me.
Yeah, and I think that's a fine thing. For you to be the catalyst to heading in the right direction, that's all the great discoveries throughout history have been spearheaded by people like yourself. They weren't necessarily.
There's
going to
be somebody
out.
I mean, yeah, there's going to be. There's going to be a lot of these small closed loop systems sold, and everybody that has one is going to have literally unlimited. Technology to build gensets all the way up to 10,000 kW that you can go buy off the shelf right now. I mean, I know Lima Manufacturing makes probably the best generators on earth, and you can call them up tomorrow and order a 10,000 kW genset, which is huge, and probably have it delivered in 14 to 19 days. And whoever buys my tabletop unit is going to have the technology to apply to a generator that big if they want to. They're not going to have any. The only limit is, how big a generator can somebody build for them?
Yeah.
And
so what we're talking about here is,
I mean, if you've ever been to, Hoover Dam, then you would know there's 19 gen sets inside the Hoover Dam. I've been there a few times. They're bigger than a house. And those are way, way more powerful than 10,000 kW, each one of them. So, I mean, my system would work at the Hoover Dam.
Okay, and for those who aren't acquainted with how the system works, to basically boil it down, we're talking about a generator being powered by an AC motor, which is being fed energy through a variable speed controller that's been tweaked. Is that right?
Exactly, yeah.
That's the basis of the technology.
The AC drive makes the motors run at absolute 100% efficiency. No ifs, ands, or buts. There's no hocus pocus to it. It's real. Physics is just wrong. I mean, the tabletop, the closed loop system, disproves Ohm's law, thermodynamics. It disproves, every known so-called physics law pertaining to electricity, and blows them right out of the water.
And that's because You're able to power a motor. Like in the case of the tabletop motor, tabletop model, what size electric motor are you using to turn the generator?
Oh, there isn't any generator. It's just I'm using an inverter, a battery isolator, two batteries, one charger, a big old fan like you would have in a restaurant, and I think I'm running a 100-watt or a 200-watt light bulb. Yeah, for a tabletop system, the whole thing should be pulling about 1,000 watts. And what's neat about it is you can put it in the trunk of your car and go give a demo to somebody that literally is, you're carrying a Nobel Prize around with you in the back of your car.
So in other words, if there's no generator, then where's the power coming from?
Right, it's 100% solid state.
Okay, so your technology does not depend on a generator.
The power, yeah, for the tabletop is coming from the battery, okay? And it's going into the inverter, okay? I tweak the inverters with the same principle that I do the variable speed AC drives, except now I'm making the inverter run at 100% efficiency, which means the battery charge is running at 100% efficiency, which means it's charging the batteries at 100% efficiency, which means the motors, which means every single component is running at 100% efficiency, and that's why I'm able to close loop, and the system powers itself. And there is no outside input to start or anything. I don't start it with any outside source.
Interesting. And the battery voltage stays constant.
It stays constant. It does not go down. The battery oscillator.
At the same time, you're powering some appliances.
Yeah. And it's we're getting ready to do another video for the internet, probably next week or might be the week after that, showing the system. And this time I'm going to have I didn't put the battery isolator in the last video because I wanted to show people that all these experts out there there were quite a few people that were condemning what I did that had PhDs and, you know, computer science and electrical engineering. And so I took the battery isolator and put it behind the two batteries. And I'm going, okay, let's see how many of these Einsteins figure out, well, he's got two batteries there. That means he's using a battery isolator. None of these engineering geniuses had any idea there was a battery isolator back there. And the whole system is running off one battery while the other battery is being recharged. Not a single one of them who slandered me knew that. And these guys are supposed to be the absolute authority on electricity, you know, period. And none of these Einsteins even had any iota of an idea that there was a battery isolator involved when every single diesel pickup truck since day one has two batteries in the truck. Well, there's a battery isolator there in that truck. Every motorhome that's ever been built has a battery isolator in it. Every tractor that's got two has got a battery. These geniuses had no idea, and that shows you just how much, you know, working knowledge engineers and physicists have. They basically have no working knowledge in anything that I've ever seen.
Now, I'm not sure that I've worked for them
31 years, and I've yet to meet an electrical engineer that was self-employed or could wire a house. I've never met one that could do that.
Yeah.
But the new video is going to show the battery isolator. I'm going to explain, you know, how the whole system hooks up, and you know, one component at a time on the video. And it's going to be really. We're going to shoot it this time with two cameras because we can only do 10 minutes on YouTube. So the streamlining ought to be a whole lot. Better quality.
Yeah. Now, when you're referring to the other video, is that one that was posted fairly recently?
It was posted, I think, back probably about 2 months ago.
Okay. I'm not sure that I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's. I deliberately set that one up to where the idiot physicists and engineers were going to just, you know, gave them all the rope they needed to hang themselves. Because not a single one caught the fact that I was using a battery isolator, or that I needed to be using a battery isolator. They didn't know that.
In all fairness to them, they've been taught in a defective educational system. It's been flawed primarily due to the influence of big business, I believe.
Yeah, but they should have known that. That's pretty elementary equipment, a battery oscillator. I mean, a six-month electrician, as a matter of fact, I got about a dozen emails from electricians that asked me, where's the battery oscillator? And I emailed them back and said, it's behind the batteries.
Yeah, so there's
a
good...
I got a response of, ha-ha, nice job.
Yeah, well,
it was a neat thing to do.
Right, and that's what we're hoping, is that as you reveal the details, the naysayers, the ones who are on the take from the other side are obviously going to continue their battle to try to keep the public in ignorance. But the ones who are sincere...
That's
what I'm trying to do
is just knock a bucket right out from under these guys, because they're not helping America. They don't give a hill of beans about this country or anybody in it. And
no,
that's
pretty obvious, isn't it?
That's a lot of the crap I've been up against, and other guys like me. And it's about time we started putting these guys, showing people just what kind of experience they really have, which is just nothing but mouth.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is if you go to Wikipedia, which is the foremost online encyclopedia, and you start checking different subjects relating to free energy devices, you'll find that there are a few people whose job is, it seems, to try to take out any reference to patents and evidence. You know, they try to make it seem like hocus pocus, con man, charlatry.
Yeah, you can bet they work for Department of Energy or Department of Defense or some department.
Well, it's pretty obvious.
Or
their
academia.
With an agenda. Yeah, and they don't want someone consulting an encyclopedia to learn about the truth, the truth about alternative energy technologies.
Yeah, the arrogance of them is just unbelievable. Most people think that when you drive through the Eisenhower Tunnel in Colorado. Okay, me and another guy named, his name was Bob. Me and him back in 1978, 2 months out of one summer, did all the control hook. There's three passageways between those two tunnels in that mountain. And there's three passageways between the two tunnels that are just full of the control systems for the lighting inside the tunnel. Four rolls of lighting, 1.7 miles in each tunnel. I'm sorry, two rows in each tunnel, And me and Bob did all the control hookups and that, which were just, some of the most complicated control systems, back then known to any electrician in this country. And no engineers were allowed to touch, pull, or hook up one single termination or wire, because they don't trust them. These guys don't know how to actually do electrical work. That's why they had me and another master electrician in those three passageways doing the termination. There's literally thousands and thousands of terminations. Well, the panel boxes were so big I could stand inside them. And there's, it was like eight, I think the passageway was like 8 or 10 feet long and about 6 or 8 feet wide, and both sides of the passageway was just nothing but solid control systems.
Now, these are the interstate tunnels for I-70, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's called the Eisenhower Tunnel through the Colorado Rockies. Inside the panels I did, I autographed them, and Bob autographed the ones he did. And I saw a thing on, I think it was the Discovery Channel, about 2 or 3 months ago, and they did a story on the Eisenhower Tunnel, and which I knew they weren't going to mention me or Bob. They gave all the credit for the electrical wiring system in that tunnel to the electrical engineering firm who had the permit, and the electrical engineers never pulled one inch of wire or installed one electrical device whatsoever in that tunnel. They did nothing to the building of the electrical system in the Eisenhower Tunnel. It was guys like me, master electricians, journeymen, and helpers who actually wired the Eisenhower Tunnel.
Sure.
But the engineers got all the credit. And that, stuff like that has always griped me ever since I was a helper. And, I went through the same thing at Dow Chemical. I worked for Brown & Root, Bechtel, Daniels. and engineers always got credit for what we did because they don't know how to do anything.
Yeah, now on the other hand, in our previous interview, you had mentioned that you did pick the brain of the most brilliant of these people.
But one of the most fascinating engineers I ever met was Letourneau. And it was the son of the original old man who invented all the the biggest earth-moving equipment still today. And he invited me to his house, and I think he was living in Kilgore back in, I think it was about 90 or 91. And I didn't even have a working prototype back then. I just invited me to his home, and I sat in his living room for about 4 or 5 hours, and I told him what I wanted to do. I didn't tell him how I was going to do it, but I told him what I wanted to do. And he was very, very polite, very nice man. So was his wife, kind of think of it. She was just an absolute darling. Served us a great lunch. And he just said, you know, it can't be done. You know, I think you're just going to waste a lot of your money and accomplish nothing. And I'm going, well, you got a point there. It's my money. And it turned out he was wrong and I was right. And my patent lawyer was another one who, the patent lawyer I used was a Japanese man I met in Washington, D.C. when I spent 6 months off and on at the patent office in person, because you can't believe what a lawyer tells you. And found out that patent lawyers don't tell you anything other than give me the money.
Yeah.
And this guy told me, you know, politely, I was full of crap. He said, more power to you, but he said, I'll file your patents. He's, when it came time for me to do the patents, I thought $25,000 would be plenty of money to cover, you know, 30-some-odd patents. Well, boy, was I wrong. It was way over $100,000. So, but he took the 25 and said, if you get this thing running, call me. And I'm going, okay. And he gave me 10 years to pay the money back, or he got the technology. And so I came back to Waco, Texas to build the first one because I wanted to build it in my hometown. And the day I got it running, which was the first day I fired it up, the first time I fired it up, the system worked. I almost fainted because it shouldn't have worked. And I wasn't getting gigantic, amp load outputs versus inputs back then. I was getting like 80% more output than input. And I called him on the phone, and he flew to Waco on a Friday. We met on a Saturday morning. I fired up the system, and we let it run till Monday morning at 5 a.m. And he was just almost pulling his hair out and laughing and going, this can't be. It can't be. And this guy had 3 degrees, mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, and computer science, and a patent law degree. And the next weekend, he flew back to Waco, and he brought two variable speed AC drives that were different brand names. And he says, you did it to that one. Can you do it to these? And I'm going, I don't know. Let me have them. And I did the same thing to his two drives, and they worked flawlessly. The next weekend he came back, and his two drives worked flawlessly too. That's when I found out, well, I can do this to any brand name drive I want.
Our first interview, I went ahead and bought an AC drive. There's a guy in Canada had one on eBay for $15. So,
oh, wow.
I went ahead and bought one just as a souvenir, you know.
Boy, you've got a deal on that thing.
Yeah,
does it work?
I can't remember the name. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty complicated just to hook the thing up, you know.
Yeah.
And but I just thought, for $15, I'll buy it just to say I have one, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's got a hard drive in it. I think that's one thing that you said. Yours, you were tweaking.
Well, I don't want to go into what they have in them, but yeah, it is a very complicated little device. And what I do to them, you know, if you ever draw it out in math for physics, it's extremely complicated, but what I actually do is so simple. I can teach a 6 month electrician's helper how to do them all day long. He wouldn't know, you know, how or why it was working, but he doesn't need to know that to build it.
True.
And
but basically, what you're doing is tweaking the AC signal so that it's performing very differently from the conventional theory of what AC current is.
No, it's more than that. But I'm, in other words, my biggest concern when I did these drives was how was I going to make the motors run at 100% efficiency without, you know, screwing up the power factor or the voltage or the amperage, because on my systems, all that stays the same. In other words, whatever your input voltage is, it's the same on the output. Whatever your power factor, it's the same input-output. So the only thing that changes is the input amperage is milliamps, and the output is rated whatever the drive is rated. If the drive is rated for 400 amps, then the drive is going to put out 400 amps, but the input is going to be milliamps.
Yeah, so you're changing the nature of the...
Yeah, I'm not kidding. Yeah, because
very,
the motor, yeah, it's an incredible device. To see it run, the one I built for the Army, the chief engineer that they put in charge of, you know, handling the project I was doing for the Army, the day I ran it for him, I let it run closed loop for him for 3 days. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And this guy was just blown away. And this was a 50 kW system. It literally had no vibration, no humming. It sounds like a jet engine, but very, very, you know, silent. And the guy was just, I don't even know how to explain the expression on his face. He said, "What's the math for this?" And I'm going, "Well, that'll cost you $26 million. And he laughed. He says, "Yeah, let's see. I don't have my checkbook with me."
That's hilarious. And yet they ended up rejecting it, not implementing it for the benefit of the taxpayer.
Yeah, because it worked. Yeah, through a senator and a congressman here in Waco gave the order to pull the plug on the whole project.
Well, you know what's interesting?
Matter of fact,
the
liaison company that I built it at, their facility doesn't even exist anymore. The company's gone.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, that's how covert Uncle Sam shut that project down.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about the U.S. military and energy? If you look in the back of the U.S. 1040 booklet, you know, the instruction booklet for the 1040 tax form, They've always had a pie chart showing where U.S. tax dollars go. And The biggest piece of the pie goes to the military, but they don't break it down and tell you where that large piece of the pie goes in the military budget. But there was a guy named Stanley Meyer who was both in the military and interested in giving the military alternative energy technology, and he revealed that about 60% of the military budget goes for fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking this gigantic piece of the federal budget, and you're taking the lion's share of that huge piece, and you're throwing it away on inefficient ships and submarines and vehicles, Humvees and airplanes. You know, military vehicles just use a lot of fuel.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you found out they're generating power.
Right. The 50 kW gens that I built for the Army replaced the diesel 50 kW systems. It wasn't even 50. They were using, I think, 40 kW. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 25 kW. Yeah, it was 25 kW system. I replaced it with a 50. And their 25 was burning 57 gallons of diesel fuel a day per 24 hours. My system would have used a maximum, you know, being out in the middle of nowhere, of 6 gallons of gasoline in about, 16 months. Six gallons.
Wow.
To run 200 to 500 generators. And I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating at all. It's that phenomenal. That's what happens when you wipe out amperage. You get rid of amperage, you got everything running at 100% efficiency. You know, another aspect of this system also is without the high, my motors don't get hot. The drives don't get hot. The generator doesn't. I mean, nothing gets hot, which means there's nothing in your systems, nothing's ever going to wear out.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Every time I play with one of these things, I'm just flabbergasted every time I do it. Even though I've been doing it for, you know, as long as I have, it still just blows me away.
Yeah. Well, getting back to this issue of why the military wouldn't want free energy available to its bases and so on, is that there's a huge, huge business of selling fuel to the military.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this or not, but there was a big scandal that was revealed from Iraq with regard to how much the military was paying for fuel. Because here the thought was that if the U.S. invaded Iraq, it would result in low-cost fuel for America.
Yeah, and I didn't see that, did you? All I've ever heard since day one is that all the fuel in Iraq is being sold to China. That's all I keep hearing.
But
the big
scandal that really hit the news hard was when they revealed how much the military was paying, and I think they were paying Halliburton for this fuel. I think it was Halliburton that was selling them the diesel for all their vehicles and everything.
That's exactly right.
And it was at an exorbitant rate.
Cheney's old company. Yeah, it's Cheney's old company.
Yeah, so you wonder, well, then what motive would there be for the U.S. military to switch to free energy to power their, you know?
How it started out was when I went to Fort Hood, the men I was dealing with at Fort Hood, the colonels and the generals, were honest, patriotic Americans. Who, when I had a prototype in the back of a brand new Dodge van, and when I gave the chief of engineering a demo, I was in his office for about 20 minutes telling him what I had, and he told me I was full of crap. And he's laughing at me, and I said, well, I said, one way to find out, and he says, how? I said, well, right now I have a brand new Dodge van sitting down in your parking lot with a 10 kW prototype in the back of my van. You want to go see it? And he's like, yes. And he got up, and this guy was making fun of me all the way out of the building at 3 Corps, all the way to the parking lot and all the way to my back doors of my van until I opened up the back doors, pulled out the test gear, turned on the system, and the guy just went ballistic. He's like apologizing and laughing, and I mean, you'd think I just gave him a solid gold bar of money. And he was like, He said, shut it off. He said, we got to go back upstairs. I got to introduce you to some generals. And at that point, I was dealing with, U.S. Army, absolute patriotic men and women who wanted to see nothing but the best for those troops in Iraq and, you know, everywhere. And it took two crooked politicians to shut down what those generals had started.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's not the actual people, the working class military that ruins everything. It's the so-called leaders.
Yeah, and it's the supply chain.
Exactly.
The military-industrial complex. In fact, Eisenhower actually warned of this when he was on his way out.
Exactly.
He gave a speech in which he said that if the U.S. doesn't watch it, this huge military-industrial complex is going to end up being the tail that wags the dog.
Exactly, and that's what's been happening.
What he foretold, and he was a military man, you know.
Yeah.
He saw it looming, and he warned about it.
The chief engineer at Fort Hood that I was dealing with, when he got back from Iraq and found out what they did to me, he transferred off of Fort Hood. He refused to work there ever again. He left, and the chief engineer that they put in charge of the actual project at the liaison company, he quit too when they pulled the plug on me. These guys were really angry. I mean, they were super angry.
Yeah. There were attempts made for at least the past 100 years to introduce free energy technology to the U.S. military. There's a story that goes back to the early 1900s, and there are several repetitions of this, because pretty much every American inventor who's ever come up with a free energy device, his first thought was, why shouldn't the military benefit from this, you know?
Exactly.
And so there have been demonstrations to the military of a number of different technologies that were rejected in the same way that yours was.
Yeah, because it doesn't make money for the fat, lazy whores is what I call them.
Yeah. They're people
worldwide. What's
interesting is that this is really the lowly taxpayer who's subsidizing all this, you know?
Exactly. We're paying for nothing. And these people are laughing at us all the way to the bank every single day. You know, it's the same. They have the arrogance of AIG, who got that huge bailout, and then the next weekend they went down to San Diego and had a $400,000 celebration party.
Yeah, and then gave bonuses to everyone, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that part. Yeah, gave millions of dollars in bonuses to a bunch of people who probably do nothing at the company. And, you know, it's time for that crap to stop. It's America's had enough of that, can't do anything right, so-called leaders.
Yeah. Well, it's a very deep corruption that's a lot of people are of the opinion that the organism is so thoroughly cancer-ridden that it can't be saved. But
that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, and that's why I'm doing it how I'm doing, because, screw them. You know, I'm giving the little guy out there and the medium little guy out there the opportunity to save his own butt from, outrageous electric bills. This technology can be put in cars. It can be put in diesel tractors. It can be put in anything that uses electricity. In other words, I had plans and everything to put one of these gen sets in an 18-wheeler. I was going to do this. Was going to be project number two for the Army. And take one of their, a standard old 18-wheeler tractor, take the diesel engine out of it, put a 200-horse electric motor in there, drive the, leave the transmission, and then use my gen set to power that electric motor, and, just so we didn't completely shut out the oil companies, use 6 gallons of gasoline to go from Fort Hood to L.A., to Jacksonville, Florida, and back, and probably still have a gallon or 2 gallons of gas left over. And I'm not kidding. This is real technology that can be done now. And, boy, that didn't go over worth a damn with the Department of Defense or Department of Energy when I started talking that stuff.
Yeah, it's too
radical. Absolutely pissed off. And so, that put in, I was told I'll never bring that up again. And so
isn't that
something?
Now that leads to a good question though. What about this tabletop unit being used in an electric vehicle as a recharging system for the batteries that exist already in an electric vehicle? Wouldn't that be feasible to do with that?
Well, I haven't done any load counts on an electrical car yet. So I don't know what the load, load calculations are on an electric automobile.
But you would certainly be able to extend the range of one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In other words, whatever's in the, the battery pack that's in the car now, take that out and get rid of it. Put one of my gen sets, miniaturized down in there and have, one battery, for the headlights and stuff like that and be able to start the car. And the heck with 60 miles to a gallon, then you're talking about, a year or two you'd have a 5 to 6 gallon gas tank. And you'd literally have to, when you filled it up, have to put stable in it because it's going to take you 14 to 16 months to use up that 5 to 6 gallons of gas. But, it costs, now that, to put this technology in automobiles, it has to be miniaturized down. Now that would be, the first one to do that would be very expensive, and then they'd be the proverbial, $12 a piece after that,
yeah.
If you ever heard about what real manufacturing is.
But that is something to be pursued then, the application
of
technology
betcha.
To electric vehicles.
You betcha. And what's crazy is to do it to an 18-wheeler is incredibly cheap. Because I don't need to miniature anything for an 18-wheeler, but a car you do. And when
right.
you start getting into miniaturization, you start getting into extremely expensive components. But for an 18-wheeler, I don't have to change the size of anything. And so this can be done to the trucking industry tomorrow. I mean, people can start building, taking the technology they get out of the closed-loop tabletop system and start applying it to 18-wheelers the day after they buy the system. It's that, doable and feasible right now, not 40 years from now.
Yeah,
it's doable
exactly.
now.
Well, that's
and
very
in other words,
encouraging
the,
to hear.
Yeah, the tabletop model I'm going to be selling to people is going to, give them abilities that are just mind-boggling. It's and plus, everybody that buys one from me will have an open line to me anytime, they need me. Technical support and stuff like that. Anything they need, they can call me anytime they want.
Well, and
it won't
sounds
just
like
be
you're
going
to be a very busy man.
Yeah, well, it won't just be me. I'll have about 20 some odd old Navy buddies that'll be able to answer questions too. So the technical backup is going to be outstanding.
Now, has there been any scientific journal that has expressed interest in doing an article on this technology?
Not that I know of, but you're talking about academia there when you talk about scientific journals. That's
One like Popular Mechanics or Popular Science or anything like
that.
Oh,
yeah. It's like, you know, Scientific America. I'm still waiting to read a story in there that actually teaches me something. I've been reading that magazine for, you know, probably at least 10 years.
Yeah.
But I've been waiting to read something in there that is really mind-blowing to me, and I haven't read it yet.
Well, perhaps this interview will be heard by some people involved in some of the mainstream media, and they'll be able to pick up this story and run with it. That would be hoped. You know, that some additional public.
Well, hopefully, yeah. The, all the tabletop units that I'm going to build they'll probably be sold within the next few weeks. So, they're not going to last very long.
And so then there's going to be some increased awareness based on the people who get those models.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be 50 people out there right off the bat that can do some outrageous stuff. So it's pretty neat. It's it's technology whose time has come. And academia cannot kick the bucket out of this stuff anymore. Neither can the government. They just can't do it. You know, when you're sitting there a closed-loop system that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 components that a 16-year-old kid can pick up any one of the five components and put it in the back of his daddy's car. It's that small a system. And the hookup on it, an idiot could do. I've simplified it that much.
Well, that's
great. I mean, I've simplified it so much you can take your average guy or gal who can't change a tire, and they'll be able to do a demonstration with this thing after probably about an hour of training.
Very impressive.
I've simplified it that well.
If somebody should want to contact you about purchasing one of these demo units, what would be the best way for them to contact you? Is there an email address? Or?
Yeah, they can email me. I was trying to think of my publisher's email address, and I don't have my laptop on right now.
Is that
now.
Charlotte?
Yeah, Charlotte. Yeah, you could give that email address out, or mine is Pete Sumaruck. It's Sumaruck at yahoo.com. Yeah, or Charlotte.
Yeah, and Charlotte is at World. I believe her
right.
World View Opinion. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe that's what it is. I never email her. I always talk to her on the phone.
Well, I'll post that on the blog radio page, so that'll be there.
Yeah, and the people who actually want to buy Charlotte will give them my phone number. Or I will. Yeah, if they email me and they actually want to buy a system, they'll get my personal phone number.
Okay, and so her email address is, Charlotte, Charlotte.
Right.
I see a new email address. It's Techno Advanced Worldview. Techno Advanced Worldview at hotmail.com.
There you go.
So that would be a good way for them to get in touch with you through her.
All right.
Okay, well, Pete, thanks so much for sharing the information. It's very encouraging to find people with a genius for a particular technology being willing to help mankind by promoting it in the face of hostility and naysayers. And I wish you well, and I hope that in the near future we'll see many of these devices being implemented all over the country and around the world for the good of this planet's atmosphere and for the good of the end user.
Well, it's the technology's coming whether Uncle Sam likes it or not. So it's mankind needs it. We need it. Everybody needs it. And it's going to come on like gangbusters. And we're just talking a few weeks now.
Yeah,
so,
well, it's sure nice and encouraging to hear that. I wish you well and look forward to doing a follow-up interview in the future.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And, watch for the new video. It should be out probably this week or next week.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing that.
So, All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.